Stand with us for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 21, verse 10. And when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased, and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?" And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Father, we're thankful this morning for your presence. Thankful, Lord, for all of those that have gathered with us this morning to worship God. Praise you for these young people. Pray your blessings on them. Ask you to draw them unto yourself. Pray, Father, that each one that's in this service this morning without Christ would realize their need of God, surrender their life to Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would touch us by the Holy Ghost this morning. Make us aware of the greatness and goodness of Christ. Help us to give praise unto his name. Lord, you said in your word, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. May the anointing of the Lord rest upon me this morning, that I'd be able to speak for you, Lord, in a way that would honor your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I would like to speak this morning for a few minutes on the soul of the nation, the house of God. The soul of the nation, the house of God. The events of my text occur on Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt. He was presenting himself to Israel as their king. In verses 4 and 5 of Matthew 21, Matthew said this was done in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. Your king comes unto you." So Jesus was presenting himself to Israel as their king as he rode into Jerusalem that day on the donkey's colt. Israel's response was given on Friday of that week when they hanged Jesus on the cross. And above him was the inscription, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Their response was a resounding rejection that ended in the crucifixion of Christ on the cross. The focus of Jesus on this Palm Sunday was the temple, the house of God. He didn't bother to visit King Herod's palace. He didn't even go by Pilate's residence, the Roman governor, because Israel's main problem was not in the governor's house, but in God's house. And so the Lord went to the temple in Jerusalem. The house of God was the soul of the nation. And the house of God is still the soul of the nation. The character of the nation is forged in the house of God. If the house of God is wrong, the whole nation is wrong. This is the soul of the nation, is the house of God. Brother, we have just come through the celebration of the independence of the United States of America, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And I suppose other people feel like their nation's the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But I don't know of another nation anywhere in all the world that compares to the greatness of the United States of America. There was a man who came here in the early days of this country from France, traveled through America, noted America's greatness even in that early stage. He said, "I looked for the secret of America's greatness. I found it in the house of God." He said, "America is great because America is good." He said, "If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." I found the secret of America's greatness in the house of God. This is the soul of the nation. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about the house of God polluted, and the house of God purified, and the house of God abandoned, and the house of God amended. All of this happened in the nation of Israel. The house of God was polluted. That was the problem in the nation of Israel, was the house of God was polluted. Jesus went to the temple. The Bible says he began to drive out the money changers and those who sold doves, those who were taking advantage of the people who came there to worship God. And this business in the temple precincts was run by the high priest. And they were siphoning money off of the business that was going on in the house of God. It was a money racket in the house of God. And Jesus drove out those people involved in the money racket in the house of God. I want to say to you this morning that America's major problem is not in the White House, it's in God's house. This is the reason that America's having problems, is because the main problem is in God's house. I want to tell you that throughout this country, America has a money racket too in the house of God. There's a lot of people who have used the gospel as a means of merchandise. And they have robbed widows' houses. And they've made the gospel for sale. And they have demanded payment in order to receive the blessings of God. Multitudes of people have fallen for the pitch of these people who are smooth-tongued and deceivers of people all across this country. And the main problem in the house of God in America is in the house of God. Not only is it a money problem, but it's a moral problem in the house of God. All across this country, the Church of Jesus Christ, which is supposed to be a sanctified body, a holy people, zealous of good works, but all across this country, the house of God is polluted by low morals. The gospel of Jesus Christ brought people out of that kind of life, and Jesus brought to us a new doctrine, a new teaching, a new way of life. He brought to us a pure way of living. In the early church, the heathen noticed the women of the early church. They said their girls are pure. They're virgins. They noticed the modesty. They noticed the demeanor of the women and the ladies in the early church. That they were pure, that they were sanctified, that they were holy. And across this land we see such a plunge in the morals of the United States of America. But the problem is not in the White House, it's not in the halls of Congress. The problem is in God's house. No longer are we holding up the standard that is given to us in the Word of God, and we're suffering for it all across this country. Homes are being ripped apart, children who do not know who their fathers are, and we are seeing a decline in the morals of this country because there's problems in the house of God. This is where the problem is. Then there's the problem of music. You know what we're seeing all across this country is the house of God is incorporating the music of the world into the house of God. And, you know, this lewd beat of the world's music, which is designed to lower the moral resistance of our young people, tears down their inhibitions, makes them open to the suggestions of the devil. And this pulsating beat of the world's music is brought into the house of God. It doesn't build character. It tears down character. And across this country, churches are sponsoring youth retreats and youth things, and some have their dance halls where they bring the musicians in. They play this rap music and this heavy metal music and this rock and roll music. And the young people in their scanty attire get out on the dance floor and dance as if they were in a nightclub somewhere. I'm telling you, we are tearing down the character of our young people. You cannot build up the character of people by the world's methods and means. The house of God is polluted. This is a problem in the United States of America. You notice in my text that Jesus purified the house of God. He drove out of the house of God those people who are polluting the house of God. And he said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Oh my, isn't this what the Lord desires for his house now? That his house be called the house of prayer. It isn't called a house of music. It's called a house of prayer. You can get a multitude of people to come out and hear a pulsating band. But to call people together to pray and seek the face of God, this is what God said his house was to be, a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh my, for just a brief moment in this text that I have read to you tonight or this morning, the house of God became what it should have been. It functioned right for a brief moment. And I want to tell you how it functioned right for a brief moment. Jesus was in the house. Hallelujah. Jesus was in the house. When that temple was first built, after the Israelites come home from Egypt, from Babylonian bondage, the Bible says when they laid the foundation of that house, there was great rejoicing among those people who had never seen the first temple. But among those people who had seen that first temple in its glory, they said they wept and cried because they felt like this second temple in no way compared to the greatness of the first. But the prophet said that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Hallelujah. Whatever else he was talking about, it was fulfilled in this passage of scripture that I've read to you when Jesus, the Son of God, stood in the temple of God and purified the house of God and said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Jesus was in the midst. The glory of God was there because God was there in his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, we sing a song sometimes. It makes a difference when Jesus passes by. It is the will of God that God's house and have as the main person present, the Son of God. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in the midst. And I'm telling you, if we can feel the presence of Jesus in this place this morning, we'll all leave here better than what we came. If we just came, you know, just to have just to say we did our duty this morning. We went to the house of God. We feel better about ourselves. But here's what we've come together to do, brother. We come together to meet with God. We come together to meet with Jesus because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I will be in the midst, he said. Oh, thank God for the presence of Jesus Christ. It was in this moment when the temple is functioning as it should, that Jesus is in the midst, and the destitute found deliverance. The Bible tells us that the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. There was wonderful things going on in that temple when Jesus stood there in his glory, and the power of God was manifested as Jesus healed the blind and the lame that came to him in the temple. And when the house of God is functioning as it should, and I'm telling you, there's some activity of God going on in the house of God. Souls are being delivered. People are being healed. The hand of God is being manifested. When the temple of God, the house of God, is functioning as God intended for it to function, I say, when Jesus dwells among us, when the Holy Ghost has His way among us, we will see the activity of God in the house of God. And we have been seeing the activity of God, but nothing like God wants to do in this place. And when we welcome the presence of Jesus, and when the house of God is functioning as God intended for it to, souls can come in this place and find the help they need. And the presence of the Lord makes the difference. Isaiah 61 declared, prophesying about Jesus, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Verse 3 says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." My, what a difference Jesus makes. Takes away from us that garment of heaviness and clothes us with the garment of praise. Hallelujah. Changes our attitude toward life, and changes our attitude toward God, and makes us a worshiping and a praising people unto the Lord. There's deliverance in Jesus Christ this morning. And when Jesus is in the house, you can find help in the Lord Jesus Christ. This temple is functioning as God intended for it to. A house of prayer. Jesus is in the midst. The temple has been purified. And now God is active in the house of God. And that house was filled with praise. Hallelujah. Jesus had made his way into Jerusalem on that donkey's colt, and the disciples had been with him, throwing their garments in the way, casting palm branches in the way, and praising Jesus and saying, "Hosanna to the King." And they worshiped Jesus as he made his way into Jerusalem. The Pharisees heard that, and they criticized his disciples. And Jesus said unto them, "I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, then the stones would immediately cry out." Sometimes we sing a song, "I want the stones to cry out in my stead. I want to be able to praise Him and give glory and honor to Him." This is how the house of God is functioning as it should. Jesus is in the midst, and the worship of Jesus is going on. They're praising Him, blessing Him. "Hosanna to the Son of David." But it isn't just the disciples. It is the children. The Bible says in verse 15 in my text, "When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were so displeased." It wasn't just the grown-ups. It was the children worshiping and crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." I've said this before, I'll say it again. Young people, the worship of God is not just for old people. It isn't just for adults. But the worship of God is for you. When Jesus comes into the midst, He intends for you to feel His presence and for you to glorify Him. And it's all right for young people to raise their hand, and it's all right for young people to praise God, and it's all right for young people to seek the face of God. In fact, God desires your praise. Hallelujah. And when they said, "We want you to silence these children," Jesus quoted from the book of Psalms and said, "Have you never read that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" Hallelujah. have saved. God wants you young folks to see His greatness and goodness and give glory to the name of Jesus Christ. It isn't appropriate for young people just to sit in church and chew gum and look at pictures and whisper to one another. It isn't appropriate for adults either. But it sure isn't appropriate for children either. This is the house of God. When this house is functioning like it should, then from the back pew to the pulpit, Jesus is the center of attention and He's receiving the glory that's due unto His name. Praise God. Oh, thank God. You know, in our society, in the house of God, all across this country, churches are hiring youth pastors. And the youth pastors provide nonstop entertainment all week long, all year round, nonstop entertainment. To the pleasure places of the world they go, having parties, Super Bowl parties, going to Six Flags over Georgia, just non-stop entertainment to try to keep their young people in the house of God. And in spite of all of that entertainment, 80% of them are walking away from the house of God when they come of age, because it's not entertainment that gives young people a reason to live. You hear me? I said it's not entertainment that gives young people a reason to live. It's a commitment to Jesus Christ. It's a response to the call of Christ. That's what gives young people a purpose in living. Praise God. Oh, how we need the presence of Jesus. You know, that was finally this moment when the temple, the house of God, is functioning as it should. It only lasted a few moments. The authorities rose up against it. This is not what we want. They rose up against it. And Jesus abandoned the house of God. In Matthew 23, just a few days later, Jesus speaks. You've heard these words. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children under my wings as a hen doth her chicks, and you would not. He said, therefore, your house is left unto you desolate. Notice the change. From just a few days before, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now then it is your house, and your house shall be left unto you desolate. This is the most dreadful thing, brother and sister, is that this become our house and not His house. Oh yeah, this is where the will of man is done and not the will of God is done. This is where man is exalted and not Christ is exalted. I'm telling you, it's the most dreadful thing in the world when Jesus walks away and abandons the house of God and says, now it's your house. All across this country, the candlestick has gone out in congregation after congregation. In whole denominations across this country, they say that the Spirit is leading us in a new direction. And so they're ordaining homosexuals and putting them in the pulpit. And brother, that trend is increasing across this country until denominations are blessing same-sex unions. And the guy that was ordained in the Anglican Church to be a bishop in that church, Gene Robinson, stood before some kind of official in one of the states, I forget which one it was, to receive a blessing over his civil union with his partner, his homosexual partner. And this man is a bishop in the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church in the United States of America. You'd be surprised how many thousands of people in the house of God Say amen to that. Oh, that God would help us to realize that the most important thing in all the world is that this be the house of God. And not our house, but His house, where He receives glory and honor and praise. And brother, we'll see the hand of God working among us when this is His house. That's not the end of the story, thank God. Jesus spoke about a time when the house of God would be amended. He said in Matthew 23:39, I say unto you that ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus foresaw a day in the future when the nation would miss Him and would say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, I'll be back when you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hear me now. If we want the presence of Jesus, we have to welcome His Word. We have to be glad. We must say, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach good tidings. We must welcome the message of God, even when that message doesn't sit too well with us. Even when that message rebukes us. Even when that message corrects us. Even when that message doesn't sit too well with our flesh. But we must welcome the message of God. And not only must we welcome the message of God, we must welcome the presence of God. We must be thirsty for the presence of God. We must pray, oh God, we cannot do without your presence. We must have the working of God's Spirit among us. And if we don't have the working of God's Spirit among us, there must be somebody among us who says, hey, this cannot stand. We must have God among us. We must seek the face of God until we see God working among us. If we do not see God working among us, our children will go to hell. If we do not see God working among us, I'm telling you, our family morals will decline. If we do not see God working among us, we'll see a deterioration in the quality of the character of the people in the house of God. If we do not see God working among us. But God is the one that molds character. It is the presence of God that makes us what we need to be. And brother, we must have the presence of the Lord among us. We're worried about the White House. You know, we're all worried about the White House. We're worried about who's going to get in there. And things are not looking too promising for Bible-believing Christians. We don't have a friend that's running for the White House. But it isn't the White House that's worrying me the most. It's God's house. That's what's worrying me the most. I say, brother and sister, whatever happens in the White House, we might can vote and have very little input into what goes on in the White House. But we can sure do something about what happens in God's house. And oh, that God would help us, Sister Judy, if you'd come this morning. Oh, that God would help us this morning to value the house of God, the presence of God, the blessings of God. And that we would never be content for the house of God to be polluted and the presence of God to be gone. But that we would be hungry for God's presence. Hungry for the working of God among us. To see the blind and the lame touched by the hand of Jesus. See our young people magnifying, glorifying the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Two things Jesus has to say to us. Come unto me,
All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Then he says, come and follow me. We come to him. He gives us rest. Forgiveness for our sins. Peace in our soul. And then he says, come, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to make something out of your life. It isn't enough just to come for the rest. You must come to follow him. So that no longer is my life mine. It's his. To be guided, directed, commanded, ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder this morning, while we stand together, if there's someone in this house this morning, you're tired of sin, tired of the way the devils are treating you, and you'd like to give your heart to Jesus. These altars are open. If you just come and bow in these altars, we'll pray with you, try to help you to come to know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. If you're tired of sin, I'm telling you, Jesus is ready to deliver you from your sin. And he's able to deliver you from your sin.